And the Lord has given me something for today. And he's given me something that fits in with post-NAYC, North American Youth Congress. And we got to see some of the services. I got to hear some of the preaching. It's amazing to see nearly 37,000 worshiping. Each year is more. And when each year gets larger, then more people say, well, we're going to go. And we may go 2 years from now. It's every other year, by the way. And it'll be in Indianapolis. There's not a lot of cities that can host something like that. They have to have the hotels. They have to have the venue. They have to have the size, the restaurants, all that. It's just, there's only about 6 places in America that can even host it. And that's why you might wonder, why are they going to the same places? I wonder if there'll ever be a time when those cities are going to say, we just can't do it. We just don't have the room. Amen. The church is moving on. I want to say to our guests today, it's an honor to have you here. If you're a first-time guest, double honored to have you. I want to meet you just for a moment after the service in our hospitality room out there to the right. If you've been here before, this is your second time, I'm really impressed you came back. I'm glad you did. And if you've come the third time, well, you know, welcome home. You know, that's where you're supposed to be. Amen. Well, I thank God for the high. I do. I love it. We've been here 24 years. What? Well, July, the first week of July, I think we came into town 24 years ago. And we know what struggling services are. I could write a book, but it would be depressing. Nobody would read it. How to make it through a struggling service. How to make it through 4 people at prayer meeting and 7 at church. You know, I don't think we ever had, well, we have had 7 at church, trust me. Give me my right mind. But I want to talk about how to come down from a mountaintop. Because we need to know how to descend. Because we don't live up there. We are not in St. Louis. We're not in Indianapolis. We're not in the big venues. We're in Lakeland. And we know that. And I tell you what, I'm glad to be right here. Let me read to you about a mountain experience. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 15. 21. Moses is talking here, and Deuteronomy, remember, is a long, now, I've never preached as long as he preached. The book of Deuteronomy was basically a sermon, a history lesson, reminiscing. And so he's going back and talking to this generation. Many of them were born in the last 40 years of that wandering. Only those 20 years and under weren't allowed to die because of the curse of God on their disobedience and all the other things they did. So a lot of these were young people the Lord's talking to. A lot of them were young people. And he said, so I turned and came down from the mountain, talking about his mountain experience. And the mountain burned with fire. And the 2 tablets of the covenant. He said, the 2 tablets of the covenant were in my hands. He came down, not just, you know, we've seen tablets with the 10 commandments on it. It wasn't just the 10 commandments. It was a lot of stuff on there. How to worship God, how to approach him, how to be holy, how to build a place for him to dwell, how to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, how to build all the furnishings. I came down with them in my hand, and I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God and made for yourselves a molded calf. You turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. Then I took the 2 tablets and I threw them out of my hands. Did you hear them crash? They broke right in front of everybody. They were written by the finger of God. And he said, when I saw all of you, I'd been 40 days up there not eating, being in the presence of the Almighty God. And I cast the tablets out of my hands. He said, because behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God and made yourself a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. He's wondering who built the calf. What are you worshiping, an idol? I've been up there with the Almighty Creator face to face. And you're down here going, what's become of this man Moses? We don't know what's happened to him. And they tell his brother Aaron, you need to build us a calf. He said, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. He's telling him, if I wasn't standing between you and God, you wouldn't be hearing me today. He said, I talked to God and everything was all right. The Lord was angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at that same time. Aaron was the high priest, by the way. Then I took your sin, the calf which you made, and I burned it with fire, crushed it and ground it until it was very small, until it was fine as dust. And I threw it, the dust, into the brook that descended from the mountain. I destroyed your little idol. Now, he said this in an order that you would think he laid there 40 more days, but the order of it actually was he ground up the calf, then he went right back up to the top of the mountain. And he laid down for 40 days in the presence of the Lord again without food. And I want to tell you how we can come down from a mountain. Let's ask God's blessings. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, touch our hearts today. Lord, touch the openness that is here. And Lord, our guests that are here, I pray that you would bless them today. Father, with needs in their life they may have, comfort that might be needed. Lord, let your kingdom come today. Lord, indeed, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing for so long. Anyone ever that's here and you're standing and you need to sit, you're not going to get points deducted if you got to sit down. You may have a hard time seeing over somebody. You can go out on the edge and sit on the end of an aisle. True, I'm honest here. I'm telling you, don't be in pain. And I've come here before with back pain, and if it wasn't for the row in front of me, I wouldn't have been able to stand. I've been that hurting before, and I'm young. Y'all know that. So there we go. But we cannot live on mountaintops all the time. NAYC was phenomenal. But today, there's no one there. I don't think there's anything going on in that stadium today. There might be. But it's not what just happened. I think some of those people, and by the way, several of the staff, the ushers, several of them received the Holy Ghost. I mean, over 1,000 received the Holy Ghost in one night when Jack Cunningham was there. They're wondering, what just happened? The city is saying, what just happened? And I'll tell you, there is so many compliments from the young people in our organization because they are so kind and respectful when they go to a place like that. And it's just awesome to hear that part. But we're home now, so we're not there. And I'm not just talking to our youth and parents that went to that. We love mountaintop experiences. I'll tell you, I love this church with what we've just went through in the last 40 minutes. I love feeling the presence of God as we worship. I know in an atmosphere like that, God is well able to do anything that he wants to do. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. But Moses was up on the mountaintop for these 40 days, two different times. He lived more up there than he did below during that time. He became very accustomed to high places. And the first time he descends, he finds Israel dancing around a golden calf. And the language is sanitized in the King James Version. It said they began to play. And if you take that Hebrew word and understand what sense of the word play, it meant that they were not encumbered with any outerwear or underwear. It was embarrassing what they were doing. And they were dancing. I mean, they lost all their sense. And that's what he came down, Moses, and sees them dancing with the tablets of the Almighty God, wrote them with his own finger. And here he's holding those holy articles while he's looking at the most unholy sight that he's seen in his whole life. And he was only gone for 40 days. But their excuse was, what about this man Moses? We don't know what's happened to him. They had the worst case of preacher religion ever known in the history of the world. Because when he left, they lost their minds. But the mountaintop experiences must be savored. They are life-changing. The desert, the descent from top to bottom, it was a challenge to a man who had never been up there before. He came down not knowing what to expect. And in his mind, I'm sure he figured they were down there worshiping God and having sacrifices. And they may have written a few hymns and were singing songs about deliverance and songs about coming out of Egypt. And they may have been talking and testifying, but that's not what was going on. When he got down there, he realized they made up their own way to have a good time, and it doesn't involve God. You know, we need to understand, church, that you know, Sunday is often when God will equip us for the week ahead. I think we got that. God, Sunday is when God puts in our mind something that we're going to use on Monday or maybe Thursday. He begins to build us up on Sunday. And I'll tell you, he might start today. Next Sunday, let him pick up where he left off, and he'll continue to do the work that he began in you, and he'll continue day by day. But between Sundays, there's got to be something that goes on the inside of me that I don't check out and say, God, I'll see you Sunday. I've got to be in a Sunday frame of mind tomorrow when I wake up. And on Tuesday, I've got to still worship my God of the mountain. And on Wednesday, I got to worship the God of the mountain. I cannot let down my guard because the enemy walks about all the time as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lord, help us not to let down our guard even for a moment. Sunday is often when God equips us for that week ahead. It does matter when we miss church. Amen. I was talking to some friends of mine, pastors, not long ago, and we were bemoaning the fact that in a good economy, people can do more things and they can go more places. And my goodness, this summer has seen a whole lot of travel, and I don't begrudge anybody travel. I'm not preaching against vacations. But when you go on vacation and when you travel, don't go on vacation from God. Amen. Stay in his care. Stay in his hands. Amen. Don't be one person there and somebody here. Be an apostolic wherever you go. Amen. And think about it. Lord, do I need to really do this? Or are you trying to do something through me in a kingdom sense of things? Amen. The thing shown and spoken of up there on that mountain was to fix the sin problem that man was born with. Think about this contrast. He's up there hearing about how to deal with sin. The people are down there proving that you need to get down here quick as you can. He's hearing instructions and they're down there destructing. You got to come, Moses. This is needed. He wasn't ready for reentry. He came down there in a holy state of mind, only to find people that were everything but that. You know, he didn't eat up there. He didn't come down there chewing a chicken bone, spitting out the skin. I don't like that part. He didn't come down there, you know, picking his teeth and eating a cupcake. No, the man hadn't eaten in 40 days. There was nothing there but just soul open purely to God. And when that holy man came into contact with the most unholy sight, what he was holding in his hands, flesh could not contain it, because what he saw was such a conflict and a contrast that in his righteous anger, he threw those tablets down and they burst on the rocks. And God didn't wring his hands and go, what are we going to do now? That was the main copy. Don't know if we can ever make it again. Let me tell you, when God wrote that law, when he gave him instructions for the tabernacle plan and everything else that he needed for teaching those people, God knew when he wrote it that this copy's not going to last. This is a breakable copy. It's going to go down there and it's going to be in pieces, but I'm going to bring him up. God always knows the beginning from the end. Amen. When you wonder, Lord, I'm a mess. My life's upside down. How did I get into this place? God knew you were getting into that place. He already has the antidote for the disease that you're carrying. Amen. It's faith in the healing touch of God. He's a mighty Savior. Yes, he is. You're never going to surprise him, by the way. But don't take what I'm saying and say, well, God already knows I'm going to backslide, so let's just go out there and have a good time. Oh, no, no. He that willfully sins, there remaineth no more sacrifice for him. That means I can't be saved? No, no. No, no. It just says, he that willfully, that knows he's doing wrong. You're going to pay for that one yourself, bud. Demonstrated somewhat in the fact that Moses had to take two more stones and he had to cut them out of stone. He had to do it himself the next time. He took on himself the penalty of the people he was leading. He was a good pastor. He was a great leader. God knew who he picked when he picked Moses. And he took those stones up there. And God did it again. But that was the copy that was going to go inside the ark. It was going to be put into a holy place. Now, I want to shift gears slightly to Matthew 17, verse 1 through 7. 6 days. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his main three. And John, Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. He changed. The glory of the Almighty began to shine out of that body of God. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. They were just talking. The awesome thing about this is Moses and Elijah, they never died. They don't have a tomb for them two guys. Elijah got taken up by a fiery chariot, meaning heaven said, I got this. And God took Moses up on a high mountain and said, I got this. And they went looking for his body, even though he said, don't start looking for his body, you'll never find him. Well, they found him. You know where they found him? On another mountaintop. On a mountaintop. Jesus took the three and said, I want you to go up to a mountain with me. You're going to see something. Then Peter answered. Because if anyone's going to answer, even among the 12, it's going to be Simon. But when you take three, Peter, James, and John, it's going to be Simon Peter that's going to answer. He was quick to speak. Matter of fact, he spoke. He was like 14 years old. When I was 14, let me tell you, I was so awesome at speaking and then wondering, what in the world did I just say? I remember laying in bed at night going, that was the dumbest thing I could have said. I hope everybody forgets that I was even there. Anybody ever done that? I mean it. I just didn't think before I spoke. Then I spoke and regretted it all the time. And then did it again and again. But Simon, he was one that would speak. And he said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And Jesus said, really? I didn't know that. See, he's just speaking something like, oh, this is amazing. It's good to be here. He said, if you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and let's make one for Elijah. In other words, let's make three tents because we want this conference to continue. We could just go from tent to tent. And I got some things I want to ask Elijah about, all the Mount Horeb thing. I've got to find some more details about that. And I really want to find out about Moses. And, you know, when he stood on the mountain, you put him in the cleft of the rock. What did he see? I know he didn't see you, but what was it like? You know, this is what's going through Simon's mind, maybe. Just speculating. Oh, he was on a roll right here. While he was still speaking, you know that you are being reverenced. You know that you're being honored for your great words. That when, while you're still speaking, honestly, I don't know of a worse insult than while you're still speaking, somebody has a thought that they would like to share. And you realize, well, okay, that was valuable. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, there's Simon giving the blueprints for what we're about to do. Tents over here and tents. And behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Okay, he just set everything in order. And Simon is going, hope everybody forgets everything that I just said. Lord, let them forget it all. Worst idea ever. Because God just spoke and nailed the door shut. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, don't be afraid. You've seen some amazing things, but don't be afraid of this. You know what they did then? They went down the mountain. They went down the mountain. That's where the other disciples were. But there was down at the foot of the mountain, back to where the crowds were, gathered around the rest of the disciples, because there was a father that had one of the most despicable things that sin can ever do, a demon-possessed child. You know, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. That he would inhabit the soul of a child. No doubt left unprotected by the family. I don't know. We don't know the schematics of the problem, what happened, but we know a demon-possessed child was there. But they came down from the mountain. And here is the most important thing to understand. When they came down, Peter, James, and John, they came down with the Word that dwelt among them. The Word made flesh. He was the Word. He was the mighty power of the Almighty God. And when he walked up to that child, the disciple says, Lord, we have tried to rebuke the spirit out of him, and we can't do it. And a spirit takes him and throws him into fires and throws him into water, trying to destroy him. And we don't know what to do. And Jesus just took him and said, spirit, get out of here. Just nothing. Just spoke. The spirit had to leave because he had the power. But understand, this is the point. They came down from a mountain. Instead of having a parade, instead of calling a national holiday for what they saw, there was never a mention of the three. There was never a mention of building three tabernacles again. Simon, he got kind of quiet for the next little while because the gospel continued to go onward. Jesus came down and did the work that needed to be done for a soul that was bound by sin. And that's what he came to do, to seek and to save them that were lost. He didn't come to be glorified on a mountaintop so they could build commemorations to all the past apostles or all the prophets of the Old Testament. But he came to seek and to save the lost. When we come down from our mountain, the thing we've got to understand is we're coming down for a reason, because God has given us an order that we are to go out amongst his people, and we're to teach this message and preach this gospel and live a life holy and separated unto God and be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's what he calls us to do. Oh, otherwise we can come back from such an event like this, and if we're not careful, in a few days it can just disappear into the rearview mirror, and we can say, well, that was awesome. Well, it was great. Well, it was good. Well, man, it's almost time for school to start, and we're looking at something else. I'm not just preaching to those that are at NAYC. All of us need to understand, every time Sunday's here and we have such a move of God that we have had here today, we don't need to just let it go by and just turn our face towards our jobs and our homes and our hobbies and whatever. We need to keep this with us, and we need to walk with it and say, God, what would you have me to do? Is there somebody in bondage? Is there somebody out there, Lord, that needs to have deliverance? Is there somebody I can witness to? You give me something, Lord. Put that burden on my shoulders and let me be an ambassador for the power of God that is in me right now. When we come down from mountains, we come down for a reason. And God will give you the reason if you just let him lead and guide you. There's somebody that needs to hear your testimony. Somebody that needs to just get a hug from you and let them know everything's going to be all right. Amen. Jesus comes down from being transfigured only to meet a child possessed by a devil. It wasn't a mistake. That was perfect order right there. I don't know about the other disciples. They were listening to the daddy's reasons and problems that was besetting that child. Peter, James, and John, I think they were so full of faith, anything could have happened because they just saw the glory up there. When we're in a service like we've been in just today, See, this is not just about NAYC. Wonderful things happened there. Great. And it was awesome. They said 1,000 got the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me, they said, where we were sitting, they couldn't count them. But a whole row of people that didn't have the Holy Ghost just were filled with the Holy Ghost. He said that was happening everywhere. There was likely more than that. But it's not about the numbers. It's about the great outpouring that was there. It's amazing. But church, that's what we have here today. It's a mountain experience. But tomorrow's Monday. But I want to take this into my Monday. Amen. I want to take it into my Tuesday. I want to walk into the workplace. You need to go into that workplace and just say, hey, I'm in charge. Devil, you don't have anything to do with this. I've been praying, and God's going to use me. God's going to let me testify. I've got a word for somebody in my job. I'm going to tell them who Jesus is. I'm going to lay hands on somebody that's sick at my job. I'm going to pray for somebody whose house is splitting up, whose marriage is breaking up. But I'm going to go to them and say, hey, God's got this. Let me pray for you. Let me take this to my Father, and let's see what will happen. We come down for a reason, because that's the world we live in. Friend, I tell you, I lived for youth camp. I lived for it. And I, whenever I could, I went to junior and senior camp both, if I could manage it. One year, I went back home, got to my job at the grocery store, and I just was missing just the camaraderie and the atmosphere. And Crusader camp was coming up. That's a big kids. That's 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And I told my boss, I said, you know, I'm kind of needed at a kids camp. Can I take off a week? My boss like, absolutely. Now, truthfully, I wasn't thinking of going there and counseling and laying on the hands. I just wanted to get back to where all the great memories were. I wanted to get back to that campground. And I did. And I saw God move. It wasn't on my level, but I enjoyed it. You know, my thing wasn't seeing a fuzzy puppet up there singing a song and all that, but man, it had them kids' attention, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. We had a great time, but I just wanted to be where it happened. But I found out, I've told you this story before, but the ones of you that I told you, hey, this is probably about 30 of you. I went to General Conference, and it was near my hometown. My wife and I went there, and I think Jared was a baby at that time, before Kayla was born. And it was just a short drive to the convention center, and we went there and heard some great preaching. Great, great preaching. And I just felt a drawing. That was my hometown. I was from there. And I thought, I got to go back to South Florida, Sodom and Gomorrah, Fort Lauderdale, Miami. You know, that's how I was thinking. It's just so wicked down there. It's got some wickedness, but so does anywhere else. I've decided not to mention towns anymore around here. Got to backtrack. I apologize. And on Sunday, it was missions. That used to be how they did at a general conference. I believe it wasn't Sunday missions day normally. You don't know. Well, I'm just going to say it. Nobody can prove it's wrong. It was missions Sunday. And they had a preacher there that was, I wanted to hear him. But something began to gnaw in my heart. You know, just, and I thought, and I asked my wife, I said, honey, would it be all right if we just went to my home church and heard Brother Combs preach? I just want to hear my pastor preach. And I heard the best sermon of all conference. Because, see, I came back to home. And there I am in the church where I first spoke to my dear wife, to where we first said praise the Lord to each other. Probably wasn't what we first said. But I came back to all those memories, and I'm thinking, we're in Fort Lauderdale trying to build a church. And God, it's going to be hard to go back there. It was a big place, and it had a different flavor. And it was a transitionary period, and I was having a hard time just getting excited about going back. And my pastor got up and preached a message. And when he began to preach it, he began to preach for me and to me. And he talked about Mount Iwo Jima and how that And he was in the Marines in World War II, and he wasn't on that, but he was close by that in some of the areas that Brother Brown was in. But he told the story of how the commander told those men to take the mountain, and they went up there and suffered losses. And he said, all right, regroup, and I want you to take the mountain. And they'd go up there, and they'd suffer losses and come back. And he said, you take that mountain. And then he said the most important words that I heard that week. He said, young man, you go back to that mountain of home missions, and you take that mountain. And it changed my world, because it was the right words at the right time. And it gave me the courage to go back up my mountain. It gave me the ability to tell my wife, honey, let's get in this thing for good, because we're doing the will of God. And when we went back to church, we didn't go back to a size like this. We went back to just a church that was small. I think we had finally moved from the living room into a storefront. And we were just in the storefront. And there we were. But I'll tell you something. That was my mountain. And it was my mountain to take. And God was in it. He equips you when you go to the right mountain. He equips you. But once you transition, the lessons and the revelations from the mountaintop take hold to help you make it in the real world. That's the world we live in. But when we come down, we must descend. We must descend with the word. When we come back down, Moses, when he came that other time, he had brand new tablets. Again, written by the finger of God. But this time, he knew what he was facing. And this time, they knew he was coming back. And they knew better. By this time, the calf had been ground up into powder. It had been poured into the river. And Moses commanded them to drink the water. You're going to taste what sin is like to understand how angry God is with you. That's what he was saying in essence. And when he came back down with the word. And when we come down, here's the thing. There's a seduction of the mountaintop. They said the past year, more people have climbed up Everest than ever in the history of Everest. And it's been there a long time. But more people are climbing it. They said people are actually having to stop. There's traffic jams. And I'll tell you, I'm never going to have to worry about that traffic jam. I've seen photos of a metal ladder, the kind of ladder that's out beside my house behind the shrubs. They got one of them ladders stretched across this big ravine, and then people they walk across that ladder. I'm like, no. But they do it so they can get to the top and then come back down. That's why. And then they can say, I've climbed it. Yeah. One guy climbed it, I don't know, 100 times or more. My God, goodness. That's not my thing. But those that climb up it don't always get to come back down. They're climbing it just to say they climbed it. Oh, Lord, I don't want to waste my life climbing the wrong mountain. I don't want to waste my time doing something just so I can put my name on it. I don't want to do something that's just there for the sake of pride or because everybody else is climbing that mountain. Let me tell you, if the whole world's climbing your mountain, you're probably on the wrong mountain, because the mountain that God gives you, it's a lonely mountain sometimes. But it's found in his book, amen, and you know you're on the right one. But the thing that is so important when we come down from our high, and there's nothing wrong with highs, I love conference, I love camp meetings, I love these things, I love revivals, and I love having church here on a Sunday, amen. I leave different every time I come. I love the atmosphere, I love the smiling faces, I love our music, I love coming here, but when I leave, I've got to leave with something, I've got to leave with the word of God. I can't leave empty, but I got to say, Lord, change me today too, God. Change me again so that I can make it through the week and live a life that gives glory to my God. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Moses descended with the word in his hand. We must descend with real changes that the word made while we're holding on to the power of that word in our heart. We've got to let God do real things to us. Holding the stone tablets in his hand the first time, he was way too new to this arrangement. And he burned out on reentry and he threw them down and broke them. But the next time he came down, he said, I know what I'm facing and they know who's coming. Amen. We know both sides of this now. You stay in church a long time, a little while, and you'll understand. You'll understand. Amen. There's a world out there, and it's real, and the devil plays for keeps. You might just feel, you know, a little, maybe take a walk on the wild side. Hold on. You may not come back. You may not come back. That's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. This is the safest place to be. I want to say a word about being absent. I don't even know what comes after that, but it's in bold type in my notes, so we're going to see. I mean, I don't remember, but let's go into it. You can't get the same touch at home. Oh, that's good. That's when you're in his presence. I'm glad I put that in there. Home is okay, and online church is good, but don't get addicted to laptop worship. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. But when you can, come in together with your people. Because there's something about corporate worship. Amen. Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to get excited about that because it hurts. But being a pastor, you have to go ahead and read those sentences that are in bold type. You can't let bold type scare you away. We can sustain the level of spiritual height if we keep the Word of God ever before us. Just the word. You've got to have the word. Not the word you like. You just got to have the whole thing. Amen. Psalm 23 is beautiful and I love it. But you got to go outside the boundaries of the 23rd Psalm. But we really have to keep the word of God. As we rub shoulders with those who are bound and struggling in sin, we have to stay focused on what we heard and what those words did for our soul. I'm talking about the church. I've got to be the church. You've got to be the church. And we have to know what's up there. We have to know the mountain has the answers. We have to know the God of the mountain. He comes down into the valleys where we are, and he can fill us and thrill us, and he can save us and keep us saved. We can be anywhere because we have a relationship with the God of the mountains now. Hey. Amen. You can walk through the valley now. You can be down at the riverbed. You can be where the idols are and the idol worshipers because he can put his arms around you. He can protect you and he can walk through the valley with you. Why can that happen now when they couldn't do it then? Because now, oh, thank you, Lord, that now you've given us a spirit. You put your spirit within inside of us so that we can walk in your statutes and do them. Oh, thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. It provides for you. It leads you. It protects you. It insulates you. It's such a blessing in your life. I can't do this without the Holy Spirit of God within me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One of the most important things I ever heard in church was 8 years old when they had a microphone up to my mouth and I heard me talking in tongues and didn't know who it was. And I opened my eyes and saw the microphone and it was like you talk about an out-of-body experience. At 8 years old, it was amazing, but everybody's different. Your experience, hey, you got to talk in tongues. That's the sign. You may feel great, you may feel wonderful, or you just might feel better. The Bible doesn't say anything about feelings. Because everybody's different. But I want to tell you something. At the upper room, they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Every Sunday and Wednesday, we descend a little bit. A little bit as we go into our homes. We descend just a little bit. It happens. It happens. But I'm closing now. The plateau. The plateau, that's where we live. Most of our time, we're on that, you know, Monday, go to work. Traffic jam, have lunch at work, microwave, wasn't that great, work the rest of the day, get in the car, come back home. That's our day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Hopefully Saturday's off. If you have to work Saturday, be sure they pay you time and a half or something like that. That's what we want. But see, we live pretty much, our lives are pretty much the same. We work jobs, have careers, but God walks with us on that plateau. See, most of my days, I'm not on a mountain, but thankfully most of my days I'm not in a valley. it's pretty much level ground. I like level ground. I do. I like seeing mountains. They're beautiful to look at, not so beautiful to climb. My wife and I went to, was in Pigeon Forge, and we was going to go up to Clingman's Dome. And as we get closer and closer, we noticed it looked like a cloud was descending over the dome. And before we even got halfway up that incline, it's inclined more than you'd think. And it began to mist, and then the mist began to be and turned to rain. I said, honey, you want to go back? She goes, we're more than halfway there. I'm going up. And so we went to the dome, walked up the spiral up to the top. And you can see, when we got up there, you could see 5-6 feet in front of you because of the fog. I said, 5 to 6 feet, maybe. Nothing else. It's just like you're looking at a gray haze. We came down, and we can say we went there, but we didn't see anything from it because it was too foggy. That's just how some days are. Hey, some days you can see forever. Some days it's all about the story and the lesson that you learned. You can go there this next week and probably see for 53 miles or whatever they say it is, you can see. I saw 5 or 6 feet. Thank you. Same place, different weather. Everybody's different. There's seasons and times that we all go through. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Paul wrote, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am in therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've learned these things. I can go through things. Doesn't knock me off balance. But he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Most days, we're not on mountains or in valleys. We're usually just level. The plateau is Tuesday night prayer. The plateau is Wednesday worship. It's classes. It's back to work again. Getting ready for the weekend. Planning for Sunday. The plateau is the battlefield. That's where we win our trophies. It's not the mountain. The valley, we may come out of a valley and win a pin, a medal. But we come out of valleys, we're just glad to be out of them. And we know the day we come out of them. We know the time, we know the day. But most of our life is spent on level ground. The events on the mountain are rarely connected to the present situation. It's there to make something out of us so that we can make it on level ground, so that I don't quit on God. And they will likely come into play later on when we're up in a mountaintop and we go through things and God tells us something and we get a revelation. Here is my main point of my sermon right here. It's when we come down the mountain, we have to come down with the Word of God. We must come down with the Word of God. Because if the purpose of God is to be executed in my life and your life, then I have to come down with a plan to do what I'm supposed to do for God. Otherwise, why was I up there? Moses, the man of God. The Bible calls him Moses, the man of God. He came down with the second copy. And he read it to them. In Deuteronomy, he read it to them again. Because there were those that may not have heard it before. And he read the law. And he read all the things that God commanded them to do. And then he commanded that every year, I want you to read this. He said, your kids have to hear it. Whatever you got to do, you've got to hear the Word of God. Because we have to hang on to the Word. See, I love it. I think you get me here. I love NAYC. I love our youth camps. I love those things. But we don't go there for nothing. We don't go there for nothing. We go there so that we can come back and do something. Amen. We got to come back with the word that we heard, filtered through our own understanding, that we gained through prayer and study. I know this is just a little bit of Bible study, but I'm coming to a close. When you hear the Word of God preached, you're going to remember a lot of what you heard and the examples and the stories. But then what we have to do is take that and connect it with our daily prayer life. And if I don't have a daily prayer life, by next year I'm going to be at the same level I was when I went this year. And I've got to be picked back up again. And then you get to youth camp or you get to revival. And it's just like up and down, up and down. But when you get your blessing and when you get that word from God, if you will get on your knees and pray to God and learn how to really talk to Him, amen, get into that tabernacle and understand what the brazen altar of repentance, that laver of washing, and you get into the place where the bread is and where the candlestick of His light is and the incense of your worship, and then you gotta get past the veil. The veil is what you're all about. You gotta get past the veil into the holiest of holies, and that's where you hear from God, and that's where you feel what He wants you to do. Oh, I want you to know today, church, that if we can get a hold of God and pray through that tabernacle and get behind the veil, nothing can stop this church and nothing can stop this youth group or this family. But we gotta pray past the veil and let God use us. Let's all stand and worship Him right now. Hallelujah. Holy God, Lord, I pray right now that You touch somebody's heart. Lord, touch somebody's mind. Lord, our young people, they carry a burden. They do, Lord. Oh, they're facing the world in a different level than we are. They're right there in the front. It's hitting them in the face when they go to school, when they go to their jobs, the people they hang with, the people they're on Facebook with, Instagram with. It's hitting them right in the face. Dear God, I pray You give them some armor. Help them, Lord, to pick up the shield of faith and hold it high. I pray You anoint them right now, Lord, with the power of the Holy Ghost, that they can walk upright before You and know what they're about to face. Oh God, let Your protection be upon the young people of this church. But by all means, Lord, I pray You invite them to come into that holiest of holies. Lord, bring them into a place. Young people, I invite you to come here and let's just seal this transaction right now. Let's seal the deal and let's ask God to take us behind the veil. Let's ask Him to give us a depth of prayer, a depth in our prayer life. When we come down from the mountain, you didn't go there just to come back and say, wow, 36,800 people. No, you came back to say, God, now start the work You began in me. I pray You complete it. Help me to get behind the veil. Help me to get to a place where You can touch me. Keep me into a way of life that's righteous. Lord, deliver me continually every day. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God, Your word has gone forth. Now I'm praying, Lord, that Your power and Your spirit would touch these young people. Mom and dads, you need to come in and stand behind them. Worshipers, you need to come down here with them. We need to take ourselves seriously today and say, God, You are not done right.